Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Joined us. My name is Ken Page.
And I'm Dr. Nancy Nestor. And this week's show is all about how to access the holographic whole brain state of being. Well, that's a mouthful. Somebody's going to say, okay, what does all that mean? Well, for those of you who'd like to know who we are and read more about the work that we do, you can visit www.kenpage.com and find out a lot of information, and also we have free books there, including helpful books that will help you with any energies that feel overwhelming.
And this show today, we have ways of you to find more information about what we've talked about today in great details if you would like to know it. So just drop us a line, and we will, it's at office.kenpage.com, and we will respond and show you where it is on the website so you can go look it up and read more if you like.
See, one of the things that we want to talk about today is how to help you be more encompassed. In other words, your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual functions all working simultaneously together. And in the spiritual realm of our brain, our psychic abilities and other higher states and dimensions of our consciousness exist. Well, we have to have an understanding of all of the levels of our brain, because then we get to access the holographic state of being. And that includes not just our spiritual realm and that function, but also our brain activity, the mind of our human functioning, all the different levels. And then we can move into that constant space where we're so much in the moment that, you know, we can actually recognize a miracle. So the conscious and the unconscious mind are the two realities that we deal with every day of our life, the ones in which we have our physical body, and that appears to be concrete, and it actually is there because it gives us it's our marker for the location of time and space. That's what our body represents for us. And the other part of us is where we exist as this cloud of energy. Some people might call it shimmering liquid, or some people might say, you know, a mist. But that energy being of ourselves, whose ultimate location in space is not pinpointed, we are all of space.
And it could be this God, creation, source, the light. It is that creative aspect of us, place. So we have those two different realities.
So as we move between both of these worlds, the conscious and the unconscious world, our actions and our reactions are formed in our physical bodies and in the physical arena, so to say, that sets our energy into motion. That forms all the experiences we have while we're in this human state. And those experiences are then stored as memory or imprints in our body.
So what we're going to do now is we're going to, Nancy's going to read a story, and the story comes from my autobiography, The End of Time. And now this story, why we're reading it is to show you what's possible that might happen to you when you're in that other reality, and that's the subconscious reality, where it touches all other realities, okay? And so she's going to read that story. Now, remember, this is back in 1985. This is right, you know, right when I'm just starting my metaphysical or just starting my spiritual path, and very, very new at what's going on with it. And this happened. And do many of you ever know, ever had a flexi? Well, flexi was Think of it like a sled, but it had wheels, and then it had two little handles, so you laid down on it, had two little handles that you steered it.
Yeah, flexible flyers, they were called.
Yeah, but now they don't have them, because I think too many people ran into the wall with their heads.
They crashed their necks.
And that was the end of them, you know. But this was one of my favorite toys when I was a little boy.
This was long before they had safety hazardous toys for children.
Yeah. And before they had helmets.
Yeah, before they had helmets, too.
Okay, so go ahead, Nancy, if you would.
So this is called Flexible Flyer, and it is a chapter, as Ken said, in his autobiography. And I think it's a hoot because you read some of the stories in his autobiography, and one of the things he's always said is, well, you read my autobiography, which, by the way, you can read it free on our website, and if you still like me and if you still think that everything's okay, well, then he says, then we'll talk. And I just think that's a good way of putting it when individuals want to interview him or know more about him. It actually, in reading this story, it's actually how many of you will recognize yourselves in a similar situation where you feel surreal, where you feel like you've stepped out of your physical and you've gone someplace else. Okay, so here's the story. 7 a.m. Pacific time. I was driving down the Silverado Trail from Livermore to my resort at Clear Lake. I'd relocated my family there after the flood and after my bankruptcy. Although I'd driven this road many times before, the honeymoon between us wasn't over. I was still in love with the natural beauty of the area. I relaxed, enjoyed the view. As the road wound its way through California wine country, I did a lot of my best thinking on the road or in airplanes. In those days, I was a workaholic, always finding new tasks to add to an already very demanding work schedule. With all the things that I had going on in my life, driving became a kind of meditation for me. Something, an inner voice, asked me to pull over. I ignored it for a few moments because my conscious mind was rolling through the usual Rolodex of objections, not the least of which was the 10 o'clock appointment that I had to keep with one of my business partners. Running businesses under the protection of a Chapter 11 filing required that I keep a lot of appointments, and I run the businesses on a shoestring. That also meant that I had to attend to most things myself, from payroll to carpentry. The voice immediately came back, even stronger this time, demanding my attention, literally screaming at me, "Pull over." So I swung the wheel, and I pulled onto a paved roadside. I remembered thinking that something wasn't quite right. My hand felt like it was made out of lead, and as I reached for the ignition key, I saw the steering wheel rushing up to meet my face, and then I saw nothing at all. The first thing I noticed was I didn't feel heavy anymore. I felt lighter and lighter, and I could feel myself traveling through space at an incredible speed, so fast that I couldn't even tell whether I had a body or not. I had a sense that I was bridging space in some way, leaving a trail like a comet as I rocketed from one point to another. But I had no frame of reference to compare my experience to, not knowing whether I was awake or dead of a heart attack or asleep. I didn't have time to question my experience, only to be it. The sensations of depth and sound and smell returned, and I could now see thick clouds of greasy black smoke boiling up from the ground below me. Through the smoke, I saw a hotel. I could see a grassy area across from the hotel, a swimming pool behind it, and an airport in the distance. And there weren't any fire trucks or ambulances. And then the entire scene faded to black, and I was in the hotel corridor, full of rolling black smoke. The wallpaper was bubbling and peeling off the walls from the heat. I perceived something through the thick smoke on the floor about 50 feet in front of me, and I moved closer. It was a man. He was curled up in a tiny ball on the floor, trying desperately to breathe. There was a silhouette beside him, pulling frantically on his arm. I could sense that the silhouette, like the man, was very afraid. Although it was human in form, it was vaguely incorporeal, like something that you could put your hand through, and because of this, it had no effect. The man wasn't budging. My inner voice instantly said, "It's no time to ask questions. You have to get that man out of there," and I knew it was not his time to die. I felt my vibration change, and I became more solid. I could perceive just how desperate a situation we were in. The man was about 220 pounds, shirtless, gasping for air like a fish out of water, and he looked about as easy to move as a bank safe. I could see that the being tugging on the other shoulder wasn't going to be much help, and fact, I could see right through it. Both the being and I gathered all of our energy and our intent. We lowered our heads, and we hit that man like two football players on the first day of training camp, putting everything we had into it. It wasn't just his life that was at stake. I knew that if we didn't succeed, that I'd die trying. I looked about, almost in shock. We'd done more than just move. We were 50 feet further down the long hotel corridor, 50 feet closer to the fire exit. Looking back, I know I couldn't have been physically present or dense enough to move him through any kind of muscular effort. I could only have moved him psychically. Encouraged, I looked over at the being that I had come to help. She was a young woman, slender, about 19 years old, with blonde hair. Together, again, we lowered our heads. We focused every ounce of our energy, and we rammed that man. I don't know how we did it, but the next thing I knew, we were in the fire escape, rolling and pushing and dragging the man downstairs. Outside, the fire trucks and emergency vehicles had arrived. Two firemen ran towards the man who had helped, now coughing and retching outside the fire exit. The hotel was a raging inferno. I stood in a grassy area in the midst of a ring of angelic beings. With me, in the semicircle, we all of the people that died in the catastrophe, and I was talking to them. We had corralled the fire victims so that they wouldn't get lost. Most of them were confused and bewildered and scared. Not all of them even understood they were even dead. All they knew was that they'd just been taking a shower or sitting in bed reaching for the phone to call room service, and suddenly everything changed. I told the people that had died that they were going to be all right, that their guides and angels were there, and that we were going to take care of them. I had to make them understand they were safe, that nothing bad was going to happen to them. They needed to know this so that they didn't run screaming out into the streets, which is probably what I would have done. If they ran away, they could become lost, which is at least as bad as dying in a fire. I started to talk to the angelic beings who were holding the circle. They were part of a hand-picked disaster response team. The hotel fire still raged behind me, and more fire trucks and ambulances kept arriving. One of the firemen pulling a hose ran right through us. We didn't pay any attention to him. I continued my debriefing, carefully explaining to the angelic beings how they could be of better service to other victims by preparing for their missions more carefully so they wouldn't themselves fall victim to confusion and chaos. They listened very carefully. When my talk was over, they thanked me for helping them. Somehow the fact that I was still present in the physical made it possible for me to exist in a state between their world and mine, a state or a vibration from which I could do the work that maybe they couldn't. I also knew that these beings would stay at the hotel as long as they needed to, until their work was done. A produce truck whooshed past on the highway and rocked my car slightly in its wake. I pulled my head off the car's steering wheel, and I blinked at the faintly glowing digital clock on the dashboard. I'd been parked there on the side of the road for 45 minutes. I studied the green meadow skeptically. Something didn't smell right. My car in particular. It smelled like it'd been on fire. I tugged my lapel under my nose and I sniffed it. My nose wrinkled and I recoiled slightly. My clothes smelled as if I'd been sitting in a bar all night. They were saturated with smoke. That night, as I collapsed onto my easy chair back in Livermore, my home, the last thing I had on my mind was the 45 minutes that I had somehow lost that morning. What I had on my mind was an hour of delightfully purposeless television. I let my mind float away as I surfed the channels. The sound of the saccharine television news anchors was as restful to me as the babbling of a brook. And then I snapped upright in the chair, as awake as if someone dumped a bucket of ice water on my head. The lead item on the news was the crash of an Air Force jet, which was on a training mission. I had goosebumps all over my body. I watched the footage shot from a circling helicopter of a burning hotel. The back of my neck felt like it had 1,000 volts of electricity running through it. There was no doubt in my mind I had been there. I hadn't dreamed it. It was real. Well, from that moment forward, I never looked at my dreams the same way again. The different worlds that I traveled between were starting to overlap. While my physical reality was breaking down, my invisible realities were becoming real. The smoke I smelled on my clothes was as tangible as my money or my resorts. Previously, I had experienced different realities only as fragments. Now I understood that each part contained the whole. As my reality was becoming holographic, so was I. So see, that experience, Ken, was within his physical arena, but it set certain energy into motion. And then that memory put an imprint on him and then began to compile and update it. And now it's part of his own knowing, his intelligence.
But I guess the question for all of us, first of all, there must have been some truth in it. I had no training in what I was doing, but somehow I had an ability that I must have had. And at what point did it push me into this new reality? Was it that my business was going and everything in my past I had to let go of, and there was nothing more really in my life that defined me? And because of me letting those things go, because I had no choice, did it push me or let me open up into some other area that was available all the time, but I couldn't allow myself to go into? Because wouldn't you say I was out of control? Well, it certainly wasn't control like we would know control is. So maybe, and then of course the Buddhists say, the last thing they got to let go of, and that's after being a Buddhist for 20, 30 years, is they have to let go of their rage.
Now, what in the world would you think that a Buddhist monk would have in their being called rage? I mean, you would never think that a man who prays and does his mantras and chants...
Or a woman.
A man or a woman. But they all day long, they are studying or helping the consciousness of the planet and feeling compassion and working along the lines of the Buddha, that they would have in their being so much rage that was the last thing in the world they say they must overcome.
And so if you really look at rage, what they were really saying is, I have to let go of controlling anything. Because it's really an illusion. The things we think we're in control of, it's only based on the ideas we have. Later we find out we were never in control of them. It was just what we believe was in control. And I don't know, I think you can all relate to that. So the Buddhists were saying they had to let go of the need to have to control the outcome. So when you start looking at that, it started making so much sense. And all of our lives, when we can let go of having to control things being a certain way, then other ways appear that maybe we weren't in control of.
And that's today, when we're talking about accessing that holographic whole brain state, that is merging the conscious mind, which is exactly what Ken was just talking about, what we think we're in control of, what we think we know and what our senses can give to us. But the conscious mind, what does it really know? And is it really in control of anything? And does it really have the intelligence that we keep giving to it? So that, combined with the knowing or the awareness or the understanding that we learn from our subconscious mind, combined with our conscious mind experiences, is how we access our whole brain state of being.
Think about it. You thought you were in control of work and you were really good and you did everything and all these ideas about you, and all of a sudden they let you go. And everything you thought was not the way it really was. It's just what you believed. It's the same thing with a relationship. We have a relationship for a number of years, and then we find out that our spouse is not happy or leaving or something happens, and every single thing that I believed was not really the way it was. It was just based on how I wanted it to be. So my reality was based on how I wanted it, not really how it was. So you can see, that is really a big deal for all of us, and being able to let that go. And I think that's what happened. So is there a part of us that is actually interacting with what this angelic world or this other realities, and how do we interreact with it, or does it interreact with us? So are we both conduits for the energy of the creative force to flow through us? More physical, more etheric, more expansive, more linear, whatever it was, it allows us to be bridge and be more. And so that's what this story or this memory really meant to me. And I can still, when Nancy was reading it, still feel the charge of the energy of the emotions of that. Could you imagine? It's just like being a race car driver. You're working in the office, and the next minute you're going 200 miles an hour down the road. It's definitely an acceleration of your reality.
So our conscious mind, as Kim said, is our reality. It's what we think we see, because it also contains our ego and our personality and our connection to our human self. That's what our conscious mind's job is. The conscious mind is our critic. It's our judge. It's the area of our mind that analyzes things. So it's localized, if you're going to call it localized in your brain, in an area called the cerebrum, which also is where our intelligence is. And that's where sometimes we get confused by saying that my conscious mind, because of my intelligence, must know more. And that's not necessarily the case.
I got a question for you. Is that the right brain or left brain? Or do you know?
The cerebrum encompasses both in both hemispheres of right and left.
So it bridges it.
It does help to bridge it.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So the conscious awareness that exists within the conscious mind is what receives our emotions. So you see, actually our emotions are charged memories that actually result from the experiences we have in our subconscious or our unconscious mind that we're not aware of, and then it comes back around in an experience today, triggers a memory, and then we'll be charged with an emotion. So that's how actually our emotions even come in to bear within our conscious mind.
You know, I heard one time, and I wondered what you heard. Or I know you know she's well studied, but I heard our mind was like 100,000 computers. Is that something you heard?
I have, yeah. Okay. I heard that if we were to use all of the functions in our brain cells, that we could then, in the today's computer world, we could be the equivalent of 80 to 100,000 computers. But in Western culture, 85% of the people are left brain dominant. That means they're more logic oriented. They are more, I know what I know, and it must make sense to me.
Even in Europe, they're even more that way. In Europe, they absolutely could not trust what they were perceiving visually or what in their mind or hearing or feeling. They only trusted what they saw.
So that conscious mind, which for most individuals here in the Western culture, we're not talking about Eastern culture, Western culture, that left brain dominant, that's the logic, reasoning, and keeping time. That's our reference that anchors into our physical form.
So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back because we got a lot of really interesting things in the rest of our show.
If you would like free information and tips on healing and creating on how to stay energetically clear and live your daily life feeling safe in every place and in all situations, then visit www.kenpage.com. Browse through thousands of pages, free books, including the best-selling The Way It Works, together with hundreds of articles and newsletters, all providing timely information on the continuing shift in the consciousness of our planet. From helping your animal friends to releasing the emotion of rage, www.kenpage.com is your source for information to heal old emotional patterns, release old karma, and feel free. Find all this and more about Ken Page and Dr. Nancy Nestor at www.kenpage.com. You can also contact them through office@kenpage.com.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors, and their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now, it even gets better than that, because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com, and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
Most people seek the services of different healers for things such as removing energy blocks, past life regression, and emotional pattern freedom. These healing and clearing techniques are only a part of a heart and soul healing session. Ken Page and Dr. Nancy Nestor of www.kenpage.com are the foremost authorities in spirit releasement and transforming energy patterns. Ken and Nancy have worked in almost 50,000 one-on-one healing sessions around the world. If you would like to remove old energy, release old ways of being, and feel free, you might want to visit www.kenpage.com and read how you can benefit from a heart and soul healing session. Discover how you can quiet the chatter in your mind and communicate with your higher self. Schedule a telephone or in-person session with Ken Page or Dr. Nancy Nestor by email to office@kenpage.com or call 1-706-219-1319, 1-706-219-1319. HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Welcome back to The Way It Works. Today we've been talking about holographic states, and all that means is awareness is other than our reality. Do you know most people are two-dimensional? And I know you're looking down, hearing me, and you're saying, what does that mean? But it's they're looking at life as it's a good, bad, there's light or dark, there's male or female.
Right or wrong.
Everything is either or. But what if it was more expansive? What if there was more that was available into it that we never perceived, okay? It was past the reality of our experiences. Remember, you're basically your experiences. If you could access or be available to expansiveness of your experiences, and I think we find that expansiveness sometimes with others that we like or love or friends. They give us a little bit of allowing us to be more expansive, and we find that really freeing from our past.
So one of the things we've been talking about is how actually can we access that holographic whole brain state of being, which means that we're going to get our subconscious mind and our conscious mind connected so that our conscious mind can actually, as we said earlier, let go of control or actually let go of the illusion that it can control anything in its reality. Attempting to hang on to something is only going to end up either hurting you or the thing that you're hanging on to. The old analogy of putting a bird in a cage and then the bird's going to wither away because it really wants to fly, and if you love the bird, you let the bird fly. Well, that's basically what we have to look at the way we deal with ourselves. Our conscious mind wants to hold on to what it knows because that's our frame of reference. That's what's given me my intelligence. That's what's given me my experiences, and I know what I know, and it's my identity. And if I recognize that that's an illusion and I can just for a little bit, here, little bit by little bit, let go of some of those ideas that I hold on to, then maybe I can open myself up to accessing what is beyond what I think I have to know, or I think I must know.
Yeah, no, you know, another simple way I would look at it, and going back to the bankruptcies, see, normally we'd think, gosh, he's bankrupt, he must be a terrible businessman. But I had wonderful business, I had four businesses. But they went underwater. There was a bad flood in the area. And let me tell you, any business you have when it's 3 feet underwater is probably not a very productive one unless you have a riverfront property or something. So all that was destroyed. But that who I was, what I built, was destroyed. What I created was destroyed. Who I was destroyed. The man I was, and I was very popular in the area, was destroyed. I had to redefine myself, okay? So sometimes things change in your life into where you have no control. It just seems like you wake up one day and you have to look at something you've never looked at before.
And one of the things that we would like to suggest to you is that there's a lot easier ways to expanding your awareness other than have a flood hit your business or an accident happen to you or anything else that might not be quite so pleasant or actually be very uncomfortable to you.
It actually wasn't the first flood. It was the flood 3 years from then that hit. And remember, flood only happens about every 100 years in that area, but it was the second one in 3 years that took me out, actually.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we all have to kind of look at our reality and say, okay, what is real? What is really real to me? And our experiences that we hold on to, where do we get them? Well, they're actually held in the subconscious mind. We're talking about how we can access that subconscious mind. Well, in our brain, there are billions of nerve cells, and they're all interconnected. There's over 19 billion neurons and pathways that are within the human brain. Everything we've ever seen or heard or felt or tasted or touched or smelled or experienced, it's permanently recorded in like a maze, and they contain all the memory patterns which will feed back their information into our conscious mind if we can activate it, if we can access it.
So meaning I could have a memory of something that happened to me when I was 6 months and I can't remember, but there's actually a memory in my subconscious that is there of what was taking place when I was little. So tell me, Nancy, what does that information in the subconscious that it picked up and I'm not aware of, what can it do to us?
Well, if your emotions are going to take charge of you or govern you, those emotions are actually being triggered from memories held within your subconscious, and you may not be aware of them. Your conscious reality, your human self, is going to go through something, and if you have a conflicting desire or a conflicting wish with your subconscious, then your subconscious is usually the one that's going to win, and your conscious mind, your human reality, is going to have an argument with itself.
So is that what happened when I went into that dream or me traveling? My conscious actually went to sleep, and my subconscious actually kicked in. It actually connected to a more vast consciousness that I was interacting with in my subconscious. Is that right?
Yeah, because your subconscious mind is not only the seat of all of your imaginations, but it's also, since your imagination is the dominant, our imagination is the dominant characteristic in our subconscious and conscious combined whole brain. Our imagination is actually more dominant than anything else that we have. And our creative powers are at their peak when our reasoning mind or our conscious mind is asleep. That's why it feels like it's a dream. And that's why when we dream, when we're asleep, our conscious mind's asleep, our subconscious mind is dreaming, and we can fly. We can fly without the need of a plane. We can find ourselves doing many, many different things in a subconscious reality, and it's just as real. Many of our dreams can be just as real as our awake lives.
Well, with the vastness of that experience and just the knowing of it made it like it was easy to do, or I could do anything. There was no limitations based on that reality, which my physical reality has all kinds of limitations based on my physical body. But there it didn't exist.
Well, so your conscious mind is going to form certain habits, and you're not even aware sometimes of what your human self is capable of doing. So you'll basically go to sleep in order for your subconscious mind to recognize that something needed to be done outside of your human base of reality, and therefore allow something more, a higher power, a creative power, a more energetic power, to come into play.
So you could imagine when you sleep sometimes and you're in a place that's comfortable or a place that's safe, where your subconscious could take you. And then what you might be aware of in the morning, like you have done something or you have been somewhere, but you don't have the knowledge of it until you develop that part. So we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back because we have a lot of interesting things in the rest of the show.
www.kenpage.com is your source for books, DVDs, and CDs that provide information to create your own safe space. Books such as the bestseller The Way It Works, offering the basics on energy and providing necessary groundwork for the dynamics of daily life. The Heart of Soul Healing, which was 18 years in the making and is the training guide for a 9-day intensive course. The Art of Transference, Healing Through Compassion, which includes 8 full-color charts depicting the soul's evolution. Learn to Help Your Animal Friends with DVDs that provide techniques to develop empathetic connections and demonstrate how to clear, balance, and heal animals. The Art of Heaven on Earth, a DVD weekend workshop, and the Living Light Breath DVD to help you be less reactive are available together with CDs of Sacred Toning and Holographic Healing by Ken Page. Visit www.kenpage.com to locate products to help you heal your life and those you love.
A good life is essential, and that's why I listen to HealthyLife.net. And for nutritional support for me and my family, my business goes to HealthyLife.net affiliate GNC LiveWell. It's the trusted name in the vitamin and supplement industry. And that's essential when you're the one responsible for your good health and the well-being of your family. GNC LiveWell has a multitude of convenient locations near you and is always open on the internet at gnc.com. GNC LiveWell, the name says it all.
Heart and Soul Healing is a way to energetically release old emotions that trigger patterns today. Both Ken Page and Dr. Nancy Nestor offer workshops throughout the year in many locations around the world. Visit KenPage.com for a complete calendar of events. Create your own heaven on earth by attending one of their events with topics such as staying healthy in an unhealthy world, conscious creation from the heart, relationships and the modalities of communication, and more. You can also attend their all-encompassing 9-day intensive course where you are provided with all the tools to free yourself from your past. During this intensive, you learn the wisdom from your ancient mystery schools and find out firsthand how to expand your awareness. This is the most comprehensive course about oneness, compassion, consciousness, and energy on the planet today. Whether it's a workshop, lecture, or course that you are interested in, find it all at www.kenpage.com.
Web radio for your life. HealthyLife.net.
We've been talking about being holographic, or is it expansive, okay? Or is it actually something so simple, which we don't know the simplicity of it, being conscious? What does it mean for our reality to expand, okay?
Well, here's a question. One of the things that we said earlier is that our subconscious mind actually can manage or control the activities that our human conscious mind has reduced to a habit. So here's something for you to do. The next time, right before you brush your teeth, see if you can predict which of your fingers is going to grip the middle of your brush or the end of your brush. Can you determine ahead of time whether you are going to put the brush under the water before you put the toothpaste on, or you put the toothpaste on and then put it under the water, or it's a habit? If you can predict that, then you can actually activate the information that's stored in your subconscious mind.
What about toothbrushes?
Yeah, toothbrushes and toothpaste.
Like you know everything about toothbrushes for all your life? No, I didn't get that part.
These are predictable habits that we have. We get up in the morning, we go into the bathroom, and, you know, we go to the toilet, and then we maybe go back to bed. But when it comes time to brush our teeth, it's a habit that we have done for so long. We pick the toothbrush up with certain fingers or the way we grip it, and we either put the toothpaste on or we put it underwater, and that's a habit. If we can stop for a second and try to predict what we're going to do before we do it, then okay. We're accessing the memory that's held within our subconscious mind, because our subconscious mind knows what we're going to do, and so we do it automatically. That's what's a habit.
You know, it just reminds me, and it probably has nothing to do with the two, but I ask people to put their name and address before I work with them, and everybody holds the pen in the weirdest, I mean, different ways, okay? I've never seen so many ways, so many people hold a pencil in a special way. What does that mean? I guess that's the way they always did it.
Right, and if, you know what, if you stop and pay attention to some of the habits that we have in our lives, doing what you're going to do and thinking about how you're going to do that habit, like brushing your teeth or holding your pen, when you go to do it, it's awkward. It's like, oh, I don't know how I'm supposed to do this. Because you're accessing your subconscious mind, which is a memory, and then your conscious mind isn't dormant anymore. Your conscious mind is trying to take over doing what your subconscious mind has had charge of. So right there, you have accessed your subconscious with your conscious. They're working together. It might seem awkward, but it's going to help you become more holographic, working in both sides of the brain at the same time.
And, you know, a number of years ago, I did something that not very many people do, okay, because nobody's ever told you to do it. But what I ask is for my spiritual life to be manifested physical. So think about that. My spiritual life probably has no boundaries because it's more than I can understand. What if you ask that richness of that reality to be a part of your physical reality? So that would be almost like asking your subconscious to be conscious. Is that right, Nancy?
Yeah, that would be.
Okay, mm-hmm. So just try that for a bit, but then you really, really need to pay attention, because whatever you're dealing with and you want to know what it's about, we don't know what the messenger will look like. We don't know if it's a little ladybug walking up. Now, if that little ladybug walks up and it's from spirit and it's really telling you this whole story about your life and you don't pay attention, then the next thing is sent by spirit is a dog and it bites the heck out of your heels.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time, if you don't pay attention, the dog that bit you, a truck runs over you. So there's easier ways to learn than being overwhelmed by the energetics of your expansiveness.
Your subconscious mind is the one that's going to control all the perceptions of your world, as well as the unseen world. So by allowing yourself to pay attention to what you think your conscious mind is seeing or sensing, your subconscious mind is actually the one that's going to receive it and transmit those perceptions. So one of the things that we're suggesting is that, as Ken just said, I ask each day, we both do, we ask each day that our spiritual life manifest itself physically so that it becomes a part of our reality, so that our unknowing becomes our knowing. And by asking that, that's a positive frame of reference, because our subconscious mind, just like a computer, will delete a negative command. So if it's given a negative command, our subconscious doesn't really have a clear way to actually read or act upon it. So we can address our subconscious in a positive way. So use the present tense and use yourself and say, I ask. Just frame any request that you have to your subconscious without incorporating an emotion or a feeling. But just address it just like that. Keep your language really simple. Anything that maybe a 5-year-old could understand, something that simple and that direct, your subconscious mind will begin to act upon, and then it will feed that directly to your conscious mind, so that it will then, your subconscious creates, your conscious has the recognition of the creation.
So are these like affirmations?
They're not quite like affirmations, but because an affirmation many times is only kept in the conscious mind. And an affirmation sometimes does not feed the proper information to the subconscious mind, because the energy of the brain is more cognitive. Conscious mind has to understand it. And if I don't really believe in my affirmation, or I don't really understand my affirmation, even if I say it all day long, it's not going to resonate with something that's already imprinted and the energy and the emotion already stored in my subconscious.
That's like me saying, I'm going to be rich, I'm going to be rich, I'm going to be rich. Mm-hmm. The part of me remembers, when I was rich, I got flooded, so it doesn't want me to be rich or something.
Well, those are what we call the part of the levels of the brain function that have conflicting desires. See, if your subconscious mind's still holding a memory of you getting flooded because you were rich, then it's going to tell your conscious mind, oh, you can say that all day long. However, if I'm rich, then I'm going to get flooded. So
then that means I'm a man in conflict.
That means every human being's in conflict.
Oh!
Yeah, which is why affirmations, if they are in conflict with what our energy or our memories or the patterns within us that are held within our subconscious, then we have a challenge manifesting something in a conscious reality.
But if you do what you love to do, and whatever that is, even if it's building a model or crocheting or knitting or painting or dancing.
Gardening.
Okay, would that bridge the subconscious, that energy? Okay?
That does.
Would you see how powerful that would be? So this whole thing about a conscious ego and subconscious is kind of hard, but doing what you love to do, and in that place, we bridge to another reality is something we all understand.
One of the easiest ways to bridge that reality is to balance the left and the right hemispheres of the brain. We already said that about 85% of the adults in Western culture are left brain dominant, locked into logic or analyzing or judging. And that's why I've often says that's the role of a human is to judge, because we're locked into our left brain. The right brain is not based on any type of language. It's not based on any type of logic. It is creative and emotional, and it's non-linear. So balancing the right and the left and recognizing how to get in that middle state where we can actually feel ecstasy in our awareness, accessing the holographic whole brain state, it can be pretty simple.
So you'll show us how to do
that? Yeah, I'm going to walk you through a little exercise.
Okay, so we're going to take a short break, and then Nancy's going to show us how for us to be better, okay? And for me to get out of conflict, I guess.
Most people seek the services of different healers for things such as removing energy blocks, past life regression, and emotional pattern freedom. These healing and clearing techniques are only a part of a heart and soul healing session. Ken Page and Dr. Nancy Nestor of www.kenpage.com are the foremost authorities in spirit releasement and transforming energy patterns. Ken and Nancy have worked in almost 50,000 one-on-one healing sessions around the world. If you would like to remove old energy, release old ways of being, and feel free, you might want to visit www.kenpage.com and read how you can benefit from a heart and soul healing session. Discover how you can quiet the chatter in your mind and communicate with your higher self. Schedule a telephone or in-person session with Ken Page or Dr. Nancy Nestor by email to office@kenpage.com or call 1-706-219-1319 1-706-219-1319
Attention, Kmart shoppers. Now you get Kmart on HealthyLife.net. Kmart carries over 70,000 items like Martha Stewart's Everyday Products, Apparel by Jacqueline Smith, Joe Boxer, Route 66, Appliances, Jewelry, and more. Everything you need. Plus, you'll get exciting weekly promotions. Go to HealthyLife.net's homepage and click on Kmart, and then you're there. And you even avoided the crowds.
If you would like free information and tips on healing and creating on how to stay energetically clear and live your daily life feeling safe in every place and in all situations, then visit www.kenpage.com. Browse through thousands of pages, free books, including the best-selling The Way It Works, together with hundreds of articles and newsletters, all providing timely information on the continuing shift in the consciousness of our planet. From helping your animal friends to releasing the emotion of rage, www.kenpage.com is your source for information to heal old emotional patterns, release old karma, and feel free. Find all this and more about Ken Page and Dr. Nancy Nestor at www.kenpage.com. You can also contact them through office@kenpage.com.
The Bright Side of Talk, HealthyLife.net.
Thank you.
today we've been talking about holographic or expanded brain states. And Nancy's going to show us how to balance the right brain, left brain. Is that what you're going
to
do?
Well, first we need to find out what we are. We need to find out if we're left brain or right brain. So to find that out, hold up your right thumb with your right hand fully extended, and just relax it.
Right between your eyes, is that?
Well, directly in front of you,
okay.
Aligned with the middle of your body.
Okay.
Keep both your eyes open. Line up where you think your thumb would be if it were perfectly aligned with an object that's maybe 20 feet in front of you. So hold your arm steady. Now, close one eye.
Right eye or left
eye? It doesn't matter. Just close one.
Okay.
Keep one open.
I'm closing
now,
my left eye.
All right. Now switch sides and keep the other eye open.
Now, I mean, now open my, close my right and open my left?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whichever one was closed first, open it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm having to hold my right eye because it won't, okay.
Okay. Now, notice if your thumb is more aligned or centered with what you saw from your right eye, or whether it was more aligned or centered with what you saw from your left eye.
Well, it's more to the right. What's
happening?
Well,
if your thumb is aligned more to your right, you're predominantly left-brained.
Ah!
And if your thumb is more aligned with your left vision, then you're predominantly right-brained.
Well, I can really see that. Can you see that?
See, that's a simple way. That's a real simple way of doing it. And when we recognize what we are, whether we are right or left-brain, then our brain, it's easier for us to enhance what side of the brain we wish to have more active. So if you're looking to have more activity in your bright brain, as we said, 85% of Western culture adults are left brain dominant.
So that means I'm left brain, right?
So it means that you might be a little more left brain than right brain,
okay.
Which allows you to have logical reasoning. I mean, you know,
okay.
that's
okay.
Necessary. But if we want to activate more of our right hemisphere, our right hemisphere is recognizes affection, closeness with persons, places, things. So
you're not making that up. I'm
not making it up. I swear it's true.
Me and the audience are kind of rolling our eyes about this.
Okay.
She didn't make. Are you?
No,
is that really
the
that
right
okay.
brain's task is to be close to our desires and our emotions and the connections to our deeper brain, and all of that is from our right. It's called the limbic system, and that is affectional. Its task is to be able to be affected and to recognize and establish closeness through affection with persons or places or things or ideas. That is our right brain. Our right brain's hemisphere, that's our stability, our freedom. It unifies everything that allows us to look at that higher or overall picture of any experience. And Ken, you have the greatest ability of anyone I know to be able to look at something and you literally, I watch you, you step away from it and you see the overall picture. You see a bigger picture than anyone else that I know is capable
of. Let's go to the other side now. Let's go to the other part of the brain.
So if we're going to stay, if you're more right brain and you want to help balance the left part of your brain, then look for events that you know are very strong. In other words, something that motivates you, something that really motivates you.
I don't understand events.
Well, logical reasoning. It's our left brain is analytical. Yes, it's judgmental, but it's also responsible for linear thinking. So math functioning, that's linear, you know, doing math problems, keeping track of time, not identifying status or power, you know, watching the news, that is actually more logical. Our left brain's function is to separate and search for an event in our life and to categorize it, puts it in little squares, like I'm going to compartmentalize this, or I'm going to say...
Like an experience I have?
Like an experience,
okay.
Right. If you look at those experience, you can take an experience in your life, and you can separate it between your left brain thinking, or knowing of it, or compartmentalizing, to then go to your right brain and put the emotions to it, or whatever your natural or your gut reaction is, that's when you're using your right brain. So if you can balance both sides of your brain, it's much easier to access the subconscious patterns or the subconscious memories that are stored that then trigger or create the reality that your conscious mind gets to experience.
Now, we also have another simple way, and actually it's extremely simple. If you want to understand about living light language, and it's also balancing the right brain, left brain, you can go on our website and say, where would they find that?
Under creation techniques.
Okay.
It's a living light language, and it's really cool because it'll allow you to balance the right and the left sides of your brain and also see sheets of geometry, because that's the way our mind, which is bigger than any computer in the world, actually accepts and accesses the information in our higher brain states.
Yeah, and eventually, if you really practice that, the little geometry will become pictures or colors. So anyway, I really invite you to look that up because it's really a very powerful, and it would take you about 5 minutes. Remember, this is 5 minutes to change your life. Whew, I would want to see if that's really true. And so, remember, if you can change your life, that means you just have more choices.
Mm-hmm.
The more choices you have, the easier it'll be. And the other thing we invite you to do is go on our website, because on our website there's many clearing techniques that you can do and your friends can do. And there's this book. And what's the name of the book?
Well, the name of the book, the subtitle that everybody seems to use is Stop, Look, Listen. And the book can be accessed right from the homepage. There's a link on there that says Feeling Overwhelmed by the Energies of Life. And the book is How to Clear Yourself, Release Old Energy, and Finally in Your Life Feel Free. The subconscious patterns or the memories and imprints that are in your subconscious that might be in conflict with what you're attempting to create in your conscious reality, you can work on releasing those subconscious energetics. Go to that book.
Yeah,
go
sure.
Look in that book.
Sure, a lot of conflict in the world today with what we really want and what's happening to us.
Yes.
And so, remember, our website is www.kenpage.com, and we invite you to listen to us every Thursday at 12 noon Pacific time and 3 p.m. Eastern time.
Right here on HealthyLife.net. You email us with any questions you have, office@kenpage.com.
Sometimes we don't know if you're out there because you don't email us and ask us any questions.
Yeah, so let us know. Bother us once in a while. We love to hear from you.
Well, this is Ken Page and Dr. Nancy Nestor, and many blessings.